with that if it was being used for good, if it was being used to teach kindness or to help kids with their emotion regulation skills or their psychological development. I think that at the very least, we should use this amazing profit that social media companies have amassed to teach kids how to use their platforms in really beneficial ways to get the most psychological good to come out of it, and maybe even to create modules or experiences that we know could train kids and prevent them from mental health difficulties.
And Emma, you talk about logging off. You founded the Log Off movement, but you're not completely logging off. So what do you say to young people? How can you do it in any kind of healthy way?
What I say to young people is you need to mentally log off and reflect back on your own usage, asking deeper questions. Why am I on these platforms? Who do I follow? What makes me happy? Where am I harmed? And in answering these questions, young people can begin to curate their experiences online for themselves, to prioritizing their safety, their well-being, over other companies prioritizing the maximization of our attention. It is all about placing levels of friction between us and these addictive technologies. And that has to be facilitated through self-reflection.
Emma Lemke, we want to thank you for being with us, founder of Log Off Movement, Josh Golan, executive director of Fair Play, and Dr. Mitch Princeton, chief science officer at the American Psychological Association, professor of psychology at University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. If you or someone you know may be considering suicide, you can call 988. That's the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282 BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, board meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The KBOO Board of Directors meets the fourth Monday of the month starting at 6 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 33rd Annual Cascade Festival of African Films throughout the month of February with a collection of films by African directors from over 16 nations.
Films will be screened at Cascade PCC, Hollywood Theater, and virtually. Full schedule and location information can be found at africanfilmfestival.org.
That's the 33rd Annual Cascade Festival of African Films, showing Africa through African lenses, happening February 3rd until Saturday, March 4th, in celebration of Black History Month. Full schedule and location information can be found at africanfilmfestival.org.
What's up, everybody? This is Goddess, and she, and you're tuning in to KBOO Portland. Holla at your girl.
And you are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM Portland. And today we are, of course, celebrating National Love Your Pet Day. It's just one day to take a moment to celebrate our animal friends, our animal allies, our animal buddies that actually help us a lot in our journeys, in our human journeys. And this morning we have Delphine Crescenzo, who was, if you don't know, maybe you are aware, she was station manager and one of the real star mentors here at the station, you know, that have provided, she has provided so much support. And anyway, this is not about you, Delphine, it's about our animal buddies. But come on, just tell us your thoughts right now about the value of our animal friends.
Hi, Ender. Thank you so much for having me and asking me this very important question. I believe that, animals are a gift. And when we are lucky enough to actually build a relationship with animals, I think we get an insight into a different world, into their world, into their way of seeing and knowing. And I feel like that's a tremendous, you know, gift that nature is giving us, to be able to communicate not with just with our species, but also with others. And I feel that, you know, pets play that a lot, you know.
Yeah, and well, I'm sure you have an important, interesting, and beneficial story about, well, animals, right? So who you want to talk to? Who do you want to talk about right now?
Well, that's a good question. Well, so I think that I have definitely several animals in my life. And I think that I want to use this opportunity to talk about Maha, because Maha's gone. I don't know where he is. I hope he is okay somewhere. But Maha is an amazing cat, and he is a Bengal cat. And he has a sister whose name is Kala, who is still with me. And Maha was just an incredible spirit. I think that, you know, sometimes animals come into our lives for a reason. And they actually know what we are going through. You know, as I was saying earlier, they have capacities to sense things that that we don't, you know. So so I think that sometimes we end up, you know, in situations with pets where they can see before we see or before we know what's going on deep inside of our souls. And that's kind of how I felt with that boy. He was he wasn't my pet in the beginning. He was brought into my life by my ex-partner. And when he first acquired my ex-partner, when he first got Maha and Kala, he had a hard time with Maha. You know, they're Bengal cats, so first of all, it's they are a very interesting breed. Don't if you are actually looking for a chill cat, a Bengal cat is not for you. Bengal cats are definitely active cats. I would almost qualify them as dogs. They're definitely like are about the prowl. They like to be with their group. They're very vocal, and they're just very, very interesting cats. But I'd never been around cats like this before. And and so my ex-partner just thought that Maha was just very a hard-headed cat that was just like wanting to do his own thing. But it turns out, in fact, that he was just very scared, and he was just feeling, you know, somewhat disoriented from his new life. And I feel that, that, you know, I was able then to provide a little bit of, like, you know, mother love for him, help him feel a little safer. But, you know, despite the fact that he was maybe a little stressed out about this human life that we were living in, him not really understanding what it was, he also had this very, you know, deep capacity to be connected to the wild. And I feel that every interactions that I had with him just help, you know, just bring me a little closer to what it is to be a wild being. You know, examples would be, you know, Maha was just the very, like, the loudest purr you could think of. It's just really amazing because he would just look like he is doing his own thing, but then you come and just scratch him and he would start purring, like, so loud. I've never heard a cat purr louder than this, and I've been around a lot of cats. But then, yeah, one day, unfortunately, he decided to walk and go. I don't know what happened to him. I hope he is okay. But if that's okay, I'd like to read a poem that I wrote for him.
Oh, please do. Please do share with us your poem about Maha on this day, National Love Your Pet Day.
Okay, I might get emotional. So this is Ode to Maha Boy. My loudest purr, my curious adventurous boy. How much I will miss drying you up when you come home drenched at 3 a.m. How much I will miss you bobbing head, loving the caresses. My kisser, my awkward climber, my tall boy. How much I will miss you stretching your body on the pillow or across the couch. How much I will miss the sound of your voice. My sharp-fanged rabbit hunter. How much I will miss the depth of your stare. How much I will miss seeing you play with Kala and Pumpkin and cuddle with Thumper. My sweet Maha boy. No matter where you are Mama's boy, and I will love you always.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Delphine. I think that many people would feel some sort of kinship to these emotions. A lot of people don't know that the type of bond that can be formed between a person and an animal can be so grand, even if it's just, you know, it hasn't been too long, that it can cause these type of emotions, you know, when they decide to just pack up their bags and leave. So I'm really glad that you're able to share this with us. Who else? I think there is another being. I think there is at least one other being that you would like to talk about. I think his name starts with a T. I'm not sure. Please tell us about Thumper.
Well, Thumper love is the love of my life. I decided a couple years ago to adopt a dog, and I got very lucky because one of my friends, Brooklyn, was raising Thumper, and she was looking for a home for him. And I got very lucky to be connected with Thumper, because it was my first time actually owning a dog myself. I did have a few dogs when I was growing up, but I was not the main caregiver. And also the dogs were outside. So, you know, whenever you spend 24/7 with a dog versus, you know, when the dog is partially, you know, living outside, you form just different bonds, you know. And Thumper is just an incredible soul. He is just the softest, sweetest baby there is. And I feel tremendously lucky to have him. Because at this point, I consider him my child. He brings, you know, a lot to my life. He also challenges me to be a better person every day for myself and for others. So, yeah, I mean, I would encourage anybody who is on this National Pet Day thinking about adopting to take that very, to give it a thought, a serious thought. But also, as you know, it's also a lot of responsibility to have a being that counts on you all the time. So, you know, give it some deep thought if you are wanting to adopt. Take it seriously. I hope on this day maybe some folks can give some advice. Yeah, so just being realistic about, you know, what you can give, I think an animal is very important. But also, are you ready to receive, I think is what I would say. Maha and Kala ended up coming into my life because, you know, I don't mean to be judgmental, but I believe that maybe my ex-partner had underestimated what were the needs of cats, and specifically Bengal cats in this particular case. And you know, so yeah, be realistic and do some research, I would say, before. But then if you find the right animal for you, and it doesn't have to be a cat or a dog. I think lots of folks are into reptiles. I definitely enjoy reptiles. I also, you know, folks are into rodents, rabbits, you know, all those kinds of things. You know, fish, even, you know, my thing about fish is, you know, like, it's hard for me to see them in a small ball. But, you know, and I think that's part of the challenge also that I'm having. My desire in having animals, being around animals, is actually to feel wilder, to be more connected to my wild side, because I know I'm an animal. You know, it's like the human society, Homo sapiens society in which we live, is trying to pretend we're something else, but really we are. And so, like, so I enjoy challenging myself to be more like them. And so I don't raise my animals the conventional way that people raise them. For example, my dog is always off leash. And that has taken a little bit of creativity in talking to people and in going places, you know. But I think most people are really amazed by this. And my dog just behaves so beautifully, you know, that there's just never any issues. But some people are afraid also. So, you know, it's like you need to consider a little bit of everything in living in this society. But it is tough, you know. So as I'm trying to get wilder, you know, I definitely also feel pulled away from Homo sapiens society, you know. But thankfully, you know, like, yeah, the animals help with that.
Wow, that's a wonderful perspective. That's a wonderful perspective. And I don't think a lot of people have heard somebody saying that, you know, that they're being pulled away from Homo sapiens society. Because I think a lot of people feel like that. I felt like that myself on many occasions. So it's just wonderful to hear a perspective, Delphine. And would you like to share with us some last thoughts, more on the philosophical end of things, about the value of the animal beings in our lives in this crazy upside down world that we live in, that is completely abnormal. It's become normalized to all of us to live with so many pressures and things and wars and a racial hierarchy managing everything and all this nastiness that it's everywhere. Tell us about, like, philosophically speaking, the value of the animal beings in this journey of not going insane and trying to be a human. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, this is again what I was saying, which is, like, we ourselves are animals. So in order to not become insane in this society, I have found that, you know, what helps me is to be grounded in what's real, and my connection with my animals are real. My connections with, you know, plants and other, you know, tree beings, you know, as well as Homo sapien beings like you. I love you, Ender. But it's, and Zoe too. I love you, Zoe Boo. You wanna come up, pretty girl. So I think that animals are just more than animals. You know, I think we call them animals because we're just trying to divide, you know, it all. But they are just other beings, you know. And I think that if we find a way to be closer to them, then we find a way to be closer to who we are. I mean, I don't know, for me, at least that is what I have found, what has happened to me. And yeah, the closer I become to Thumper, but also to my cats, Pumpkin Pie and Calla Girl and the Mist Maha Boy, then I think that I become a better Homo sapien, actually, for being close to animals. Yeah, they help with, you know, I think, like, that is the key. The key is that they're just reminding us that, you know, we are more than humans. We also are wild beings. And Thumper Love is kissing me right now. I love you, baby. And we are wild beings. that's just what we are. And the animals, what they do also is they really help us see the world through a different lens, because their senses are different from our senses. And if we only stop at what we can see, then, you know, we miss a lot. And, you know, animals, they smell, they, you know, they hear in very, very different ways. And I think, like, if we connect with them, they also allow us to connect to more power inside of us. Because I become, when I take walks in the woods with my dog and my cats, I become more alert. I am just like a better Homo sapien from learning from them. So yeah, they're important. They're essential. They are part of the cycle of life. They're just part of our kinship cycle. So yeah, they are, and we are, and together we are.
Great. They are, we are, and together we are. And thank you, Delphine, for sharing your thoughts on this special day. And you know, the word animal means wonderful things. My favorite word in this language. And I rarely use the word pet. Rarely. I never use it. I'm only using it this one time because it's the name that they came up with. Yeah. But I rarely use that word. And these are our friends. So thank you, Delphine, for participating here during National Pet Day on KBOO 90.7 FM, your community radio of choice. And next, Emma Lugo, president of the KBOO Foundation, producer and host of Transpositive PDX, and she's also part of the Prison Pipeline Collective. Here she gives us her contribution for National Love Your Pet Day.
We got home from our trip and found our beloved cat Lugo sprawled out dead on the floor. His brother died 3 years ago of kidney failure, and recently our kitty Bongo passed away from the same. He was 13 years old. He was named after a coffee shop in Nashville, Tennessee, that was a focal point in the 1990s for artists, queers, communists, fundamentalist Baptists, country music wannabes, hippies, and homeless people. Bongo was a mom to Pepper and Poppy and a friend to everyone in the neighborhood. He was born to Jessica, and her family blessed us with these two beautiful cats that gave us so much joy. Bongo was a dear and loving cat. He was buried and has returned to his cat ancestors. He will be dearly missed. Here's a couple of poems I wrote about my cats. This one is about my little cat, Biscuit. She's a Russian blue. Here's the poem. Little Russian blue. Little Russian blue, be tender with my love. White mittens, wide eyes. Your mama loved you, little Russian blue. Bury me with your bones. Lounge in the cavern of my hips. Look out the window, little Russian blue, guarding the sentinel of the birds and spiders. Natural born killer. What if I were as small as a mouse? Could we be friends? Or would you savage me with your love? Little Russian blue, ancient odalisque. Hair as gray as fog, white as snow, eyes piercing, playful. Little Russian blue, such a painful heritage. 20 million dead, the emptying of the motherland. Land of infinite cold, of infinite snow, of bounty beyond imagination. Land of oligarchs. Other motherland, revolution of Mensheviks and Bolsheviks. In your playful eyes, you see their history. All of this to become a tattoo artist in Portland. That is your legacy, your great gray beard, your heart, the beating heart of a nation. Bleeding blood, bleeding oil, natural gas burning blue, burning bright like the legacy of your vision. Your patriarch, our father, who has given us this failed dream of a motherland, of a fatherland, a union of Soviet worker collectives, the overthrow of capitalism and the end of history. Scratchy, scratchy, scratch, your little white belly. I see you want to play. You want to take a nap, little Russian blue. Bury me with your bones. Soak me in your ideology. I want the intoxication of your dreams, the rhythm of your purrs. I want to be one with your utopian vision, my little Russian blue. Thank you. And for my final piece, I'm going to read a very short, originally in Arabic, but translated into English. This is another poem about our dear Kitty Bongo, who passed away just last week. The great cat naps, dreaming of blue sky, an endless field full of mice and opportunity. His paw twitches rapidly, catching a mouse. He lifts his head, back to sleep. Thanks. I'm Emma Lugo. I'm the president of the board of directors of KBOO, and thanks so much to Ender and Public Affairs for putting together this day in honor of our cats.
My name is Alon Rob, and I'm the co-host of KBOO's Bicycle Show. Today, though, I would like to tell of Yashin and Gino Nugget Bartali, a cat and a dog that I have been fortunate to know and love. It is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye, wrote French pilot, writer, and resistance fighter Antoine de Saint-Exupéry in his wise and magical The Little Prince. In this world where too often appearances, pretensions, and egos seem to hold center stage, what is essential still does manage to get through, and often one does see clearly with the naked eye. A tail wagging, a bark of joy, a purring of contentment are a few of these essential manifestations that can be seen clearly and experienced directly. Since the early years of life, my journey in this cycle of existence has been aided and blessed by several stars shining bright, generously providing light, warmth, and hope. These include loving family members, friends, books, bicycles, soccer, cats, and dogs. The dogs, Dubi, Hor, Aristo, and Gino, Nugget Bartali, and the cats, Volvo, Smokey, and Yashin, have been family members, companions, friends, teachers, and endless sources of joy. Today I will lift a toast or a paw in honor of them all and will tell of two, Yashin the cat and Gino the dog. After Adassa Esther Rab, my dear mother, may her memory be blessed, died, I was devastated. Observing the psychologically wise mourning traditions of my Jewish ancestors and community, going to therapy, staying for a few weeks in an ancient Jerusalem monastery overlooking the Judean desert, where save for the monks' prayers and ringing of the bell, I enjoyed solitude and quiet, all these were steps I took to grieve and heal. They helped ease some of the intense pain. The knowledge that my mother lived to be 92 years and led a life of many pleasures and joys lessened the tremendous sense of loss. Still, I was heartbroken, sad, depressed. We decided to adopt a kitten because cats are wonderful beings who deserve good and loving homes, and also to help with my healing. The Animal Aid webpage featured a photo of a small orange kitten named Elliot. For the next 3 years, this spirited and intelligent creature blessed our life. We renamed him Yashin in honor of the Russian goalkeeper of my childhood, whose all-black outfit and graceful and powerful leaps to ferry the ball away earned him the nicknames the Black Panther and the Black Spider, and who was also a model of sportsmanship. From the first moment, Yashin brought smiles to our faces and much joy. Though I was still heartbroken, it was impossible not to smile and laugh over Yashin's playful and mirthful nature, his dedication to chasing a string, waking us up at precisely 6 every morning, and then planting himself on my chest and demanding his breakfast, his hiding under the blankets, rushing to the door to greet us and our bikes when we returned home, walking with us in the neighborhood attached to a leash. All these and so much more helped me survive my mother's loss. I still felt an ache, but it was lessened greatly thanks to that orange kitten that grew into a beautiful, spirited orange cat. I took extra care to make sure that Yashin did not go outside alone, as cars and the coyotes that made their home in the nearby forests were real dangers. One day, however, when I returned home, Yashin was gone. One of our housemates left the door open and then tried to capture Yashin by running after him. We searched for Yashin for days, but in vain. The 18th century Jewish mystic Rabbi Nachman of Bratslav has said that there is nothing in the world as whole as a broken heart. There is much wisdom in this saying, an acknowledgement that when we are hurting and broken, we could truly be open to the world, we could be more compassionate and aware of our pain and that of others. I would like to imagine that Yashin has found another home, that he is in a place of safety and love, but the uncertainty about his fate remains. Since Yashin vanished, so much has happened globally and personally. Thankfully, throughout these and other challenges and struggles, there have also been sources of strength, healing, and hope. Among these beacons of light has also been a new family member, a little four-legged golden-haired dog, a mixture of Chihuahua and Rat Terrier, who behaves like a lion. Gino Nugget Bartali, a dog who brings much joy and embodies wisdom too, and is a daily reminder of the good and loving elements of the universe. After Yashin vanished, we were not ready to, quote, move on or adopt another animal. A friend suggested we foster dog or cats for short periods of time, thus helping the animals till they find permanent homes, and in the process do something with all the love we had, love that was yearning to be expressed with a non-human being. At the Animal Aid shelter, we chose a little guy who was in his cage, peering at us frightened. From the information sheet, we learned that he was an LA kid. Born a year and a half earlier, he enjoyed a good life at the home of a woman who loved him. But after she died, he wound up living on the streets until he was taken to a shelter and then shipped to Oregon. We brought him home. For the first week, we did not know if he had a voice, as he made no sound. He was frightened, crawling into his crate every night. We made a poster and placed it at stores and on telephone poles and also online in order to find him a permanent home. A couple who lost their dog came to look at Nugget. They left, saying they needed to think more as they often travel, and also as he was, in their words, not their exact cup of tea. Their favoring a different cup of tea was our greatest blessing, as we decided to have the renamed dog, we renamed him Gino Nugget Bartali, part of our family. His transformation from being terrified and wary to happy and loving has been beautiful to watch. Gino Nugget Bartali is named in honor of the Italian cycling champion and member of the anti-fascist resistance who hid Jewish friends in his home and smuggled documents in his bicycle frame, a reminder of what is possible and of the ongoing need to stand for what is right in those days and our age too. I am a lover and admirer of both cats and dogs. Daily, I thank the universe for giving me a chance to be in the company of such wonderful beings, animals that approach the world with curiosity, playfulness, and joy, animals that embody loyalty and devotion and who share their magical lives with us. Thank you, Dubi, Shor, Aristo, and Gino Nugget Bartali, the dogs, and the cats Volvo, Smokey, and Yashin, for being family members, companions, friends, teachers. Thank you also to all the other dogs and cats for your blessings. The world will be so much diminished if you did not exist and you did not decide to share your messages with us.
Humans. first dog, Wendy, became a radio dog before she turned two, when I started working at KBOO. She would hang out in the back office with me every day while I managed the memberships and lie on the floor in the air booth under my feet when I did my shows. She liked when the station moved from Southwest Yamhill Street to our present location on Southeast 8th, because there was more room to wander around and more people to visit. Wendy lived to be 14, and the day that I had to put her down, we stopped at KBOO on the way to the vet so she could say goodbye to everyone. My next dog, Leela, barked a lot, so after a couple disrupted shows, I stopped bringing her to the station. But my third dog, Karina, was very quiet and serious and loved coming to KBOO. She would lie beside my chair in Studio 2 every week when I did Locus Focus and occasionally jingle her tags, which let listeners know that she was holding up her end of the show. When dogs were banned from Studio 2 a few years ago, Karina became the KBOO reception dog, hanging out with the receptionist while I did my show, and greeting everyone who came into the station, which she loved to do because she loved everybody. She even made it onto a KBOO Twitter feed one morning. Now there is Maya, a lively and vocal adolescent doodle, who is still in training to become a full-fledged radio dog. So for now, she's helping Ender, the public affairs director, while I do my show, and I soon expect her to start producing her own programs. Besides all these radio dogs, I also had one studio cat, amongst many others, who were not so inclined. Chomsky loved to work with me in my home studio, sitting on my lap when I was playing the guitar, and eventually learning how to operate the big 8-track reel-to-reel tape recorder I used before I went digital. The machine had a large remote control unit with big buttons, and Chomsky learned how to push the stop button when he didn't like what I was recording. Fortunately, when I replaced the machine with a computer-based system, he wasn't as prone to push buttons. My current cat, Fellini, also likes to hang out in the studio, but instead of engineering for me, he just wants to walk all over the equipment and knock small items on the floor. How we love our animals.
Hi, I'm Joyce Nance, and I have cats. 5 of them, actually. My cat obsession comes from my mother and her mother before that, and back through Ancestry.com from there. Ever since I can remember, I've had cats. Like right now, I have 5 cats. Which isn't enough for people to feel like they need to call someone about you, but it is enough for people to raise their eyebrows and say, "Wow, 5 cats. That's a lot." Anyway, my cats' names are Steve, Jimmy, Merlot, Black and White Kitty, and Old Number 5. They're like a microcosm of society. They tolerate each other, sometimes even love each other, but there can also be a bunch of hissing, growling, and breaking stuff. So let me tell you a little bit about each of my cats. Like Steve, he's the youngest. He's 3 years old now, and he's a big old yellow kitty. I got him when he was like 5 weeks old from someone that didn't like cats in Stevenson, Washington. He's safe now and he's a very sweet boy. He likes following me and my wife around the house wherever we go. And then there's Jimmy. He's a tall, stripy boy with white paws. And I got him when he was a baby kitten from the Humane Society in Vegas in 2015. They said that they found him wandering around in traffic on Flamingo Boulevard, which is a huge, huge street. And yeah, Jimmy is a shy guy. He likes to hide whenever anybody comes over, but he also loves love. Like, he'll bash his big face into my hand over and over again to try to get me to pet him. And he'll even try to pick up my hand with his claw. Ouch. To get me to pet him, which I do pet him all the time. He does not get tired of me petting him. Not now, and I don't think not ever. And then there's Merlot. She is a sweet, sweet kitty. She's a little black and gold tortie and likes to talk a lot. Like a lot, a lot. Like every time I see her, she's got an opinion. So I meow back in solidarity. She likes it when I speak cat. She's like 13 years old and I got her from Albuquerque Animal Control. She's told me more than once that she does not like Steve, but she still ends up licking his head if he holds it there long enough, which was the point. Black and White Kitty is my wife's cat. She's about 5 years old and moved here from Reno, Nevada. She said she moved here because she liked the authenticity of the Great Northwest. But regardless, she does not like Steve or Jimmy, no matter how authentic they are. Especially Jimmy. But unfortunately for Jimmy, he likes her. Like a lot. And sadly, he does not understand that chasing games are not everyone's cup of tea. And last is my cat, Old Number 5. She's a mostly white cat, about 14 years old, and also from New Mexico. She likes eating and sleeping, and also eating. She used to like escaping out the front door, but then once she got herself lost, like very lost, and we couldn't find her for a really long time, but then somehow 2 months later she showed back up, and we never knew where she went or how she even stayed alive. So now she no longer likes escaping out the front door, but she still enjoys eating and sleeping and also eating. So now you know a little bit more about my cats. Thanks a lot for listening.
Hello, my name's Joseph Gallivan. I'm the presenter of Art Focus, the Tuesday morning art show on KBOO. Me and my kids have two cats, Caramel, who is an ornery orange, or ginger, as they say in England, and Matey, who is black. Caramel is about 14. We adopted her when my daughter Helena was 6, and now she's 20, studying art at university. Matey we have had for 5 years, but he was full grown when we got him, so who knows when he was born. The cat shelter in Sherwood were only certain that he had FIV, what we call cat AIDS, and was a reformed alley cat who had just been dewormed. Caramel lets us rub her ears and belly, but not her flank. That'll get you a biting. She also sometimes attacks your ankles as you walk by and will draw blood. But I think that's related to her dusk time shenanigans, which is the hunting instinct of running madly up and down our apartment. However, when we brought Matey home unasked, she hissed at him and he hid under my bed for a week. 5 years later, she still hisses and swipes at him, and she always eats first. Whenever she hears the pop top on a can of Friskies, she lumbers over in a thoroughly entitled manner. It's like Sing Sing, but the food is better. Poor old Matey hovers, waiting till the coast is clear, and he can risk entering the dead end we call our kitchen. Caramel has only become more ornery over the years. She hogs the heating pad and sometimes craps on the rug in what they call in Northern Ireland a dirty protest. But there's no changing her. My son Liam, who is 16, loves to hold her and stretch her out like he's a cat chiropractor. She tolerates lying on her back on Liam's belly, so long as he jiggles her very gently. She can balance like that, paws in the air for minutes. Caramel and Matey are both indoor cats. Even the balcony doesn't interest them. They eat, they sleep, they nose around, they get petted, and if my daughter is around, dressed in costume. My girlfriend Nayang loves them too, and is always offering to pay to take them to her vet. But I say, wait and see. Matey we named after the black hole, M87. He is always in silhouette. He gives off no light, except for his gammy left eye, which we were told may be a cataract. On top of regularly getting his ass kicked, as they say in America, by Caramel, just 2 weeks ago he developed a lame left hind leg. It doesn't seem to hurt, but it is floppy and seems numb. He no longer rides at dawn or runs around the furniture at dusk. He hides under my bed more. He still loves it when it's bedtime and comes to sleep on top of me and our young, but he definitely looks sad and confused. We took him to Dove Lewis Animal Hospital. They felt his leg and found nothing, then offered a choice of blood work for $550 or an x-ray for $1,000. I went with the blood work, which showed he's perfectly healthy, so he's not going back there. YouTube is no help either. He will have to learn to limp full-time if that hind leg doesn't magically heal up. We love our cats, and you should too. When they die, we'll be very sad. If you care, there are some photos of them on the KBOO website. We love our cats, and if you feel like making a donation to Cat Adoption Team in Sherwood, Oregon, where Matey came from, go ahead at catadoptionteam.org. You may be saving the life of another Matey on death row. We love our cats, and if you feel like donating to KBOO to keep the station going, please go to kboo.fm and seek out the donate button. Or if your pet is in your lap and you really cannot move, just go there and text the money.
I'm Michelle Coppola, a volunteer news anchor and program producer for KBOO. We're kicking off our winter fun drive on Love Your Pet Day, and I wanted to share my story of how pets inspire me. As far back as I can remember, I have loved animals, and especially dogs. While my family always had canines growing up, the first dog I got when I moved out of my parents' house and into my own place was this beautiful golden retriever mix I named Chelsea. She was my constant companion through several rental places, roommates, jobs, boyfriends, and breakups. When I moved cross-country from Florida to Oregon over 30 years ago, Chelsea sat shotgun the whole 3,200 miles, and I have pictures of her posing in front of the Grand Ole Opry, Mount Rushmore, and even the Oregon State Line right off the highway. She was my ride-or-die best friend, and when she passed away over 25 years ago, I remember being so distraught about her death, I couldn't even think about getting another dog for a while. Now, I was working in radio around that time, and I was asked to MC a fundraiser for the local animal shelter. While touring the shelter, I was completely overwhelmed by the number of homeless animals, and it broke my heart. I realized then and there that the best way to honor Chelsea's memory would be to give life to another dog by adopting or fostering. So not only did I take home this huge, unruly, half-grown puppy that was scheduled to be put to sleep, I also became a shelter dog foster mom. In the decades since Chelsea's death, I've fostered over 40 rescue dogs and adopted 15 senior and special needs shelter dogs. Number 16 and 17, by the way, are sleeping on my couch right now. So on Love Your Pet Day, I want to thank Chelsea for inspiring me to help make the world a better place for dogs who otherwise wouldn't stand a chance. It's kind of like the way KBOO makes our community a better place for humans, giving a platform and a voice to so many who otherwise wouldn't have the opportunity to be heard. If you'd like to help us continue this important work, please give what you can. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate right now. And rest in peace, sweet Chelsea. I will never forget you.
Hey, yo, this is Clipping. You're listening to KBOO.
My name is Phil. You can call me Phil G. I'm a KBOO music host, have been for 21 years. And I live with a couple of cats. I found these cats. They were dumped in the loading dock of the factory I worked in 2009. They were 8-week-old kittens. I brought them home. They've lived with me ever since. One of them is named Blur. The other one is named Kessel. Kessel is spelt like you think of it. It's a Yiddish term that my mother told me. It means kitten because, I had just moved my mom out here and I had kittens, so she called it Kessel. They're interesting cats. They're sisters. They don't get along. They growl and hiss at each other every day. It never gets really ugly, but they just sort of have their own turf in the house. They're both hyperthyroid, which means I pill them in the morning and the evening every day, which is, if you've ever pilled a cat, you know that it's one of life's great little pleasures. And I'm, you know, they sleep near me. They follow me around the house. Sometimes when they're in a mood, they'll play fetch with me. Sometimes they won't. I've had other cats live with me over my adult years. My mother did not like cats at all. She liked kittens, but she did not like cats, so we never had a cat growing up. But I have lived with cats pretty much since 1980. They're always interesting. I had the best dog in the world, too, for 12 and a half years. She lived with me. I rescued her from the Dane County Humane Society in Madison, Wisconsin in April of 1984. And she was my constant companion until she passed in October of 1996. Her name was Ariel, and I do miss her every day. Blur and Kessel are interesting. They keep me on my toes. They are agents of chaos. Things disappear in the house, and I usually know that it's the cats behind it. And for short-haired cats, man, they can shed like nobody's business. So that keeps me on my toes. Always something to learn, always something to do with cats. They say that having cats makes you calmer and less stressed. I don't know. When they started getting sick with the hyperthyroidism, I worried a bunch. And they're 13 years old now, and I will miss them when they depart off this planet, and I'll probably get more cats. Unfortunately, the life I lead now doesn't allow me really to have a dog. Dogs need a lot more attention than cats. Though my cats do love attention, they do love a good scritch. Sometimes they like a brushing, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they like to be petted, sometimes they don't. And I hope that if you have a pet, that you love your pet and your pet loves you. And thanks for listening to my Love Your Pet Day story. Keep it tuned to KBOO. And don't forget, on kboo.fm/give, there's a donate link. And also, you can text KBOO to 44321 and keep us going so you can hear more fun stories like this one. Thanks, everybody.
National Love Your Pet Day. My name is Sherry, and I have a collection of amazing pets. We have two cats, Maya and Tori, and two parrots, Buster and Munchkin. I've had Maya and Buster the longest. Maya's been with me for 11 years now, and Buster's been with me for 9 years. Buster is a Quaker parrot, and Maya is a Blue Forest Siberian. Maya came to me off the streets in Bremerton, Washington. I found this cat hanging out. Actually, she found me and came up to me and meowed, and we're on a very busy street, so I tried to get her to a safe place, and it happened to be on the other side of a fence. And I was walking away, and she scampered up that fence and yelled, meow! So I turned around, and this little face and paws, and, you know how that whole story goes. So I went back to the fence and put my arms out, and she jumped right to me. And after some negotiations with a house behind the location where I was at, I took her home, and we found out she was 8 months old and emaciated. She only weighed 4.4 pounds at the time, but we fed her and got her all plumped up, and 11 years later, she's a happy fat cat. She's all fluffy and cream-colored and gray, just beautiful. And Buster was given to us by a couple who had to move, and they weren't able to take him with them because he's sort of loud. Quaker parrots are rather loud. They originate from South America, and this young man was 15 when he came to us, though we're told from the vet that he was more like 18. He's currently 25, and we're looking forward to another 10 years or so with him. He's very territorial. He says, thank you, hello, kitty, kitty. When I call the cats, he says, here, kitty, kitty. He's adorable. He gives hugs. He gives kisses. He's a great bird. They're also very temperamental. So he is quite temperamental as well. His domain is the kitchen. The other two are Tori. Tori is our 14-year-old diabetic cat. And that's right, cats do get diabetes. I was shocked to find that out. She is a tortie. So she's got tortitude. If you know anything about cats, she's like a calico, but they call it a tortie. And they do have attitude. She's what you might call a spicy cat. She's very cool. She's independent. She loves to eat. Food is like her reason for living. She was given to me by my daughter because when my daughter adopted her at 7 years old, it was to be a companion for my daughter's dog for whatever reason. And that relationship didn't quite pan out the way it was supposed to. So I ended up with Tori. She's a beautiful cat. She's very loyal. She and my husband are actually quite close. And then we have Munchkin. Munchkin is a blue front Amazon. She is 30 years old. We've had her for 3 years. She was stuck in a room by herself for 4 years, and if you adopt a bird, they thrive on companionship. So if you adopt a bird and you ignore it all the time, what's the point? And the bird becomes insecure, it starts plucking, it gets sick. In her case, she hadn't seen a vet in 4 years, so that was the first thing we did. Her previous roommate, I don't think we own animals. They come to us and we care for them. So they are our roommates, our companions, our beloved friends. She came to live with us, and her former roommate was 83, had adopted Munchkin 20 years previously, and had a macaw as well. At some point in the relationship, she lost interest, so Munchkin was pretty much left to whomever could care for her. She came to us. At first, she bit me all the time, and I don't know if you've ever been bitten by an Amazon, but it's no fun, and she about made me get stitches a few times. But after about 6 months of really getting to know her and understanding her and her mannerisms, and with birds, you kind of need to understand their body language, we kind of became friends, and we've been best friends ever since. She's a wonderful animal. I love her. She ended up a couple weeks ago was sitting on her perch saying, "I love you, I love you." She does have little conversations now and then. She plays catch with her beak. She can catch little wiffle balls in her beak. She loves to sit on this orb that I bought for her, and she can't fly. She has a birth defect from when she was born, obviously, but her wings are inverted, so she is unable to fly. So I bought a big orb, and it sits in front of a window on our second story so she can see everything. We live in the country, and she has a beautiful view of the Cascade Mountains, and she can see all over the place. And I don't know that that was a great idea, because now when I have her on my shoulder and I go outside, she doesn't want to go out from under the awning. I think she's seen some things up there. So anyways, happy National Love Your Pet Day. We love ours. And thank you for letting me share. Have a great day.
You are tuned into KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
Can't get good reception of KBOO on your radio? Just type in www.kboo.fm on your PC or laptop and click on